But today we're going to move on to a new topic for Sunday Bible Hour, okay? And this is very important for us as believers. It's called a testing mindset, okay? We'll deal with that as we go along, all right? Okay, well, let's have just a word of prayer before we start. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you this morning, Lord, thanking you for everything you've given to us this week. Thank you for your grace, your mercies, your strength. Thank you that we're still healthy in the Lord. I know some people may be suffering from cough and are different ailments, but we know, Lord, that you still are the one who give us health, and you are the one who will make us better as well. As we seek your face, as we pray, as we trust you, as we put faith, Lord, in the healing God, a God that loves us and cares for us, Lord, we thank you so much that you walked with us every day, and when we pray, you definitely listen to us. And Father, when we stumble or sin, Lord, you're always ready to forgive us. And Lord, we just are so thankful, so appreciative, Lord, of a great God that we have who love us so much and to provide for every need. So right now, Lord, as we open your word, teach us from your word, help us to understand your word so that we might grow in Christ, and also, Lord, that we might be mature and strong as Christians. And for one who might be struggling, for one who need, Lord, your help in overcoming things in their lives, I pray for your Holy Spirit to encourage that soul to look to Christ. And Father, not to look to the world, not to look anywhere else, but to look to Christ for that strength that the person needs. And we thank you for what you're going to do. Build us up in your word, Lord, and help us to be strong as we face this world that, Lord, is just getting worse and worse. We just need you, Father, to teach us your word that we might be able to teach others and encourage ourselves to be strong as well. We thank you. Speak to us in a special way through your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this is your memory verse. Okay, you can testing mindset. Let's read this verse to begin with, then I'll introduce the topic. All right, ready? One, two, go. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Okay, the Bible teaches us that King David says, as he wrote the Psalms, I esteem all thy precepts. What are precepts? Precepts are truth and principles of God's word concerning all things to be right. The word esteem means to I consider. In other words, I already made a decision. I've considered all your principles concerning all things to be right. In other words, God is right all the time. And I hate every false way, a way that is not consistent, not aligned with God's will and word is a false way, okay? So that's your memory verse, all right? Just to remember that, but we will touch on that a little bit more, okay? All right, just as by way of introduction, in order for a Christian to develop, to be strong in their Christian life, we must slowly develop a testing mindset. A testing mindset, okay? This is something that comes naturally to everyone. Why I say it's natural? For example, some of you are engineers, some of you are accountants, or at least people working with accounts, some of you are pianists, some of you are architects, some of you are soldiers, okay? All of this actually have a set of principles you go by. Agree? There are a set of principles that you go by. And these are the principles that cannot be compromised. Because if you compromise that, you compromise safety, you compromise the quality of the product, you compromise the safety of your soldiers, you compromise your family, and sometimes if you're not careful, you don't go by certain strict rules in order to govern your life, you compromise your own life, okay? And unfortunately, many Christians have gone down that direction. A testing mindset is when a believer has learned that he must test everything by the Bible to see if it's right or wrong, true or false, okay? That's a testing mindset. Okay? We are bombarded in culture by many, many types of information from Google, from, I don't use Yahoo anymore, more Google nowadays, all right? Information from everywhere. Once you, the information superhighway is actually, did you realize that information superhighway is prophesized in the Bible? Did you know that? Let's turn to Daniel, okay? Let me just show you. So you know that even God knows that it's going to increase. The book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12, verse 4, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words. In other words, close the words, seal the book, even to the end of time. Literally to the end of this age, okay? Notice, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Two things will happen at the end of this world. Do you know what that is? Budget airlines. Budget airlines. Why do I say that? Many shall run to and fro. The idea is that people are going to travel like crazy. Okay? The idea is that people, last time it takes like months from England to China. William Carey, for example, first missionary went from England to India. Literally take months and months and months. Okay? But today, 2 hours, and now they are introducing they're bringing back the Concorde. How many remember the Concorde? The Concorde in Singapore, Concorde was in the 1980s, okay? But the noise was so loud, they discontinued it. They are bringing back the Concorde, all right? Which means that a person from Europe can actually reach the US in about 10 hours, 12 hours now, okay? So many shall run to and fro, and the Bible says that knowledge shall increase. The information superhighway is huge. It's like you, anything under the sun you can actually find, all right? So at the end, that's even more scary because now you have fake news. You have news that people will come up with things and people will believe. Even our own ministers are being deceived by some of this fake news, all right? And now they have to have legislation against fake news. So it's something that, as Christians, I can tell you, Satan is going to go all out to deceive us. And that's why it's important for us, okay? So a testing mindset is when a believer has learned to test everything by the Bible. Okay? And it's very important. It's very important. Because the Bible, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. It's not here, but I want to give you another verse, which is very important. This verse is something which I've held on to since I was a teenager. But it's a very, very important truth. But once you set it in your mind, you tune to that frequency, you will hate every false way. Isaiah 8:20. Okay, let's read together. Ready? Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. 1, 2, go. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. Okay, if you read the context, Isaiah was talking about false prophets. Isaiah was talking about false prophets. And we're going to talk about a lot of New Testament passages about false prophets, okay? Your only safeguard in this age of spiritual deception is the Word of God. You need to know it, okay? We're going to go through a few verses. Let's look at Matthew chapter 7. Please stop me if you have any questions, all right? Sunday Bible Hour is a time you ask and ask so that you can learn. All right, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 to 17. Okay, the Bible says in verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Sheep is supposed to be innocent. Sheep is supposed to be harmless. That's how wolves come in, harmless and innocent. They talk nice, they say nice things. The first thing Jesus warned, the false prophets will come and deceive men, okay? We should not be surprised that there are so many false churches today. Let me ask you, can you identify a false church? Huh? Sorry? INC. Ignatius de Christ. Okay, that's one. That's definitely a false church. All right, what else? What other false churches can you identify? Hope Church? Hope Church, yeah. Mormons are false church. Okay. Yeah, JWs, Mormons. But even those are the very clear ones. Those are the very clear ones. But you need to actually be able to identify those who are like, but many of them are not saved. We have people from Hope Church come to our meetings as well. And you can see a gross difference between their life and the Word of God, okay? There are many false churches. We must expect that there will be false prophets and we must be careful so we will not be deceived by them, okay? The false prophets will appear as true prophets. They appear as if they are doing God's work. Okay, and this is a very important principle. False prophets who abound, okay, there will be. This is an important truth. The fruit of false prophets is not their works. The fruit of false prophets is not their works. Because if you look, if you think about their works, many people will say, wow, these churches are on fire for God. It means they have a lot of works, they do a lot of things. Works is not an indication of being spiritual. Okay? Although if you are spiritual, there will be works. Okay? But the key about false prophets is their false teaching, their doctrine. Their doctrine. I wanted to show some videos of false prophets, but I didn't know because these guys are really bad. Plus, and also the music behind that is not good. Do you know who's the richest pastor in the world? Sorry? Ibo? Ibo? No, not actually. You know how much? Huh? Joel Osteen? No, Joel Osteen, out of the... They actually identified top 10. Joel, top 20, Joel Osteen is 17. No, it's not from... Huh? The latest one. How much? Okay, how much is he worth? 400 million. Okay, do you know how much... There was one guy who was worth 760 million. That's Benny Hinn, the faith healer. Benny Hinn. He's a false prophet. They fly by jets. You know, they say, God told everyone to donate so I can have a jet. So false prophets abound, but it's their doctrine. Benny Hinn believes that Jesus Christ went to hell to be tortured by Satan to pay for our sins. That is what he teaches. Benny Hinn teaches that you can become a god. Okay? It's not how rich and how much so-called followers he have. But it's his teaching. You have to look at his teaching. Alright? So every time you look at a pastor, you look at someone, say, wow, this guy is very charismatic. Remember, don't look at how he preached. Don't look at how what kind of things he do. Look at what does he really teach from the Bible, and is his teaching according to the Bible? If his teaching is not according to the Bible, there is no light in him. I don't care how spiritual he is. Even myself, if what I say, I may do a lot for ambassador, but if my teaching is not in line with scripture, you need to kick me out. I'm serious. This is what God says. Okay? So you have to be careful. The fruit of false teacher is wrong doctrine. Okay? In fact, many false teachers have many good works. Joel Osteen have one of the... His church is big. All right? Yes. Well, then he's... This is how we ordain. This is how we ordain pastors. Before you even become a pastor, you'll be cross-examined by other pastors to see what you believe. If you're not cross-examined... Unless all their pastors all believe the wrong things. Okay? So we need to cross-examine the person. And if the person is wrong, we will not ordain the person. Okay? And sometimes we take hours to grill them. What's King James, everything, the Bible, and all that. Okay? There are some pastors who believe this. Later on, a few years later, they didn't believe that. They were asked to leave the ministry as well. Okay? So it's the teaching. All right? So if they are ignorant, well, then they need to study the Word of God. And if they continue to be ignorant for many, many, many years and say that that means they may not be Christians. Because the Holy Spirit needs to enlighten us and teach us the Word. All right? Okay? And if he's really ignorant and someone is willing to teach them, they must be willing to repent. Okay? There is one person in the Bible who's that kind of person. Who's that guy? In the book of Acts. There's one person in the Bible who is like what you just said. He was ignorant of the teaching. Apollos, remember? Apollos preached hard. Let's turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Let me read and you follow the scriptures. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, an eloquent man. That means he speaks very fluently and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, being fervent in spirit. He spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. In other words, he was 50% right. He didn't know everything. He was ignorant, like what our brother Audin was saying. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. So this was a guy who was already in the ministry. He was preaching, and he only knew the baptism of John, the doctrines of the baptism of John. Who corrected him? Church members. But church members who walked with God, church members who Paul knew them already, Priscilla and Aquila, and they knew what was right. And what did they do? They didn't point the finger. They actually, the Bible says in verse 26, when Aquila and Peter had heard, they took him unto them. In other words, they invited him over. Because he saw the potential in this guy, they corrected him. But notice what Apollos did. Verse 27, and when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who when he was come, helped them through much, harder much, which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ, not Jesus the Messiah. What happened? Apollos was ignorant. Concerned church members spoke to him privately. He repented. He became stronger. Okay? So if people were to correct us and we know they're wrong, but they don't want to repent, then I will just leave. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so it's very important for us to understand that. All right? So you can help me also by, sometimes I speak too fast, and things come out from my mouth. You can put out a hand, Pastor, that's not right. I'm fine with that. All right? Because we're all humans. But you know, pray for your pastor, pray for each other, and we teach God's word. Okay? Can? Okay? All right, let's turn back to Matthew chapter 5 first. Let's finish that passage. This passage specifically refers to false prophets, okay? And so he says, ye shall know them by their fruit. The fruit is false teaching. Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. So if a minister is corrupt, he will tell you that Jesus is not God. He will tell you that, oh, you need to trust Christ and do good works. You need to give money to the church all the time. Otherwise, you know, God can't bless this ministry and all that. And when these preachers are centered around money. So you need to be very careful. Okay, Christ is more concerned that God, our lives are changed by Christ. All right? Any questions? Okay, the next one. Let's turn to Matthew 24. This, I would just be going through Bible passages about false teaching. That's why we need to have a testing mindset. In Matthew chapter 24:4-5. Okay, just one more point about Matthew chapter 7. You don't have to turn there. You turn to Matthew 24. Some of the false prophets actually live very good lives. It is said that, you know, if you want to marry a man, you need to marry a Mormon. They make very good husbands. But also teach wrong doctrine because they believe in many wives. Okay? Of course, some will go to the other extreme. You know, Jehovah's Witnesses, they are very good people, very good moral, upright people. But they will die and go to hell because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God. We have to cut through. On the outside, sometimes people look good, but does their teaching square with the Bible? And that's the hardest thing. And when we look at people who are so-called living very moral lives, they didn't do anything wrong. They're so sweet people. How can you say they'll die and go to hell? We don't say that. God says that. Okay? And this is something that's so important. The Pharisees prided themselves. They were very proud of their so-called righteous living, but of course they were hypocrites. But you know, there are some Pharisees who are very, very good. Do you know who? Can you name a few? Some Pharisees who are very good people. Okay, name a few people. Sorry? Nicodemus was a good man. Okay, but he wasn't saved and he knew that. Okay, who else? Joseph of Arimathea. Okay, was another man. Okay, when Jesus Christ died, he decided, hey, I don't care about my Pharisees background anymore. Pilate, give me the body of Jesus. Okay, there's one more guy who was very, very good. Also, Paul, Saul. Saul was serious-minded about his religion. He didn't play games. But of course, when he persecuted Jesus, he felt that Jesus was opposed to what he believed, and he wanted to keep that way of life because he thought it was right. All right? Paul was a serious man. Okay? And I want us to understand this. Just because someone is very on fire for something else other than Christ, okay, we need to pray that God will save him, because once God gets his heart, you will be on fire for the right thing, all right? And so that's why we need to look out for people who are zealous and they are really on fire for something else other than God. We need to try to win them, because once they win them and their hearts are captured by God, they can turn the world upside down because of their zeal, all right? Okay, Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 and 5. In verse 3, I'll start there. And he said upon the Mount of Olives, The disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Okay? The disciples were asking, what will happen at the end of the world? You know what's the first thing Jesus warned them about? Look at verse 4. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. The first thing in the end times, if worldwide spiritual deception, worldwide, okay, there are cults coming out of Korea who believe that God is a lady, okay, God is a lady, and apparently they are found loitering at Admiralty MRT and all this, they do surveys and they're trying to convince people that God is a lady and all that, all right. There are massive deception everywhere, okay? Even in Singapore, all right? Okay, the closer we draw to the end of the church age, there will be an increase in false prophets. And if you look down, verse 24, the Bible says, For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Elect are Christians, okay? There will be convincing deception. You know why many people are drawn towards Pentecostal charismatic movements today? Because they see signs and wonders. They see people getting healed. They feel good when they go there. In fact, you probably have many friends who say, wow, I feel good when I go there and God's with me and all that. No, God says that it will be so convincing that you'll be led to join them if you live by your eyes. We need to live by the word of God. Okay, that's why as Christians, we need to be very, very careful. This is powerful deception, and we therefore must be very diligent and cautious, okay? It's a believer's responsibility to protect himself and his family by being cautious and having a testing mindset. The goal is not to be suspicious of everyone, but it's to be vigilant. Do you know the difference? Being suspicious of everyone versus being vigilant, okay? In Singapore, we face constant what? Terrorist threat, right? It's happening all over the world. Okay? And so we are constantly asked, the SG Secure, we have this website, all right, that you can report anything suspicious. Okay, the idea is that you still go on to your normal life, but your eyes are always on the lookout to something suspicious. All right? Rather than being, or the person got beard, must be a terrorist, or something ridiculous like that. I'll be honest with you, after 9-11, I myself had the kind of thinking, whereby every time at MRT, I look, oh, this person got a beard, this person wears this, and you have that thinking, you become paranoid, right? God doesn't want us to be paranoid, He wants us to be vigilant. In other words, we are calm and steady in what we need to do, but at the same time, our mind is sharp. There was one commando in jail, he's a very calm guy. In the dead of night in Tekong, and some people have trained in Tekong before, at night it's absolutely pitch dark. All right? And so he was training a group, it was absolutely pitch dark, and then he was training these soldiers, then he was walking, then after he stopped. And then he looked into the bushes, then he shined a torch, there was a soldier there. He's a very old Inche, the warrant officer. So as he was walking in the jungle, everything was pitch dark. He know the soldiers are moving. And then he can pause. And he look across. And shine his torch, a soldier there hiding. Okay? He wasn't paranoid, but his eyes and ears are very sharp. You know, as Christians, we need to be sharp. In other words, when a wrong teaching comes, sometimes, Pastor, I hope you wouldn't mind me. The moment I hear something, say that's wrong, I will immediately say that. Okay? Some people say, hey, don't be so quick to judge. You know, I can tell you, if you're an engineer, if you see something wrong, will you point that out? If you don't, what will happen? Massive problems for the rest of the people. We need to be able to say, hey, cannot, that one cannot. The one's 1 + 2 = 4, they're wrong, it must be 1 + 2 = 3. Can't. You need to change that, you need to change that. Say, no, small thing, and then, no, you change, you don't change, everything else will break down. Okay? And that's why we need to be vigilant. You know, today, people don't like that anymore. They don't like people to tell them what is wrong. But, we need to still. It's a believer's responsibility to protect himself and his loved ones by having a very alert testing mindset. Okay? Jesus warned that false teachers would deceive through signs and wonders. There's a signs and wonders movement right now. All right, all over Singapore, all over the world, the Pentecostal Charismatic Movement, they believe in faith healing. Just in Sembawang, we have Victory Family Center. They believe in faith healing. They brought this guy, remember? 1 4-year-old went to heaven. What's the title? Heaven is for Real. Remember the book? Remember the book? Heaven is for Real. How many of you know that book? Yeah, Heaven is for Real. They believe that this guy died, this boy died, and then went to heaven. He came back and told everything that he's seen, and he even came to Singapore, Victory Family Center. What happened? 2-3 years later, his mother said, that was all hoax, it was all made up. It was all made up. It's false. Can you imagine? People believed. Books were written. And it was found out that it was a publisher who pushed it. Because it sells. It's appointed unto men once to die. After that is the judgment. You just compare it with scripture. That's why we have no interest in that kind of thing. Because the Bible is very clear. It's appointed unto men once to die. After that is judgment. Does people come back from the dead? I believe they will. You know what will happen after they come back from the dead? They will become fervent Christians. If you truly have been to heaven or hell and seen who Jesus is, you will not go and play this kind of advertising game. You will live your life for Jesus Christ. Does it make sense? But none of them so far has done that. All right, so that's something that we need to be very, very clear. Okay, let's move on to the next one. John chapter 8, let's turn there. Clarified on the internet, they have information about this guy, heaven is for real, and what happened after. But in John chapter 8, verse 31, let's read together 31 and 32, ready? 1, 2, go. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Okay? The only way to know the truth and to be set free from sin and error is to continue in Jesus' words. The only way that we can be kept free, okay? Some of you do go to videos of preachers and all that. You need to know whether the preacher is sound or not. And if not sound, don't ever listen to him again, okay? I'll be honest, one of the reasons why this will be the last run of Faith Bible Institute because there's increasing errors creeping into Pastor John Yeh's teaching. The church has already gone emerging, okay? Therefore, for the last three, and the Word of God is still being taught, and that's why we have to be there every week just to make sure and I highlight certain things that are erroneous and cannot be substantiated with God's Word. So this will be the last time, and by God's grace, we'll be able to renew and to actually have our own Bible Institute, okay? So that we are very clear. If you're not convinced, you can come to my place. I'll show you the videos of their rock concerts in Roland Road Baptist Church. They're having rock concerts now, all right? One of my friends who went there on an American, he just went for a trip. They actually took videos of what actually happened in there, and they were shocked that the teaching is so sound, and yet the practices are no different from a charismatic church. So, and I'm hearing it creeping slowly into his teaching as well. So there's something. You know, the only way to be set free from error is to continue in Jesus' word. And sometimes it's hard because you kind of say, you don't want to, you're not too sure and all that. Well, study the Word. The Holy Spirit will teach us, okay? The Bible, Jesus says, if you continue in my Word, if you press on in my Word, if you obey my Word, you preserve my Word, then are you my disciples indeed. A genuine disciple will continue in God's Word. And I want to make a point between verse 31. In verse 31, then said Jesus to those which believe on him. Now, when a person says, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it can mean a few things. Number one, it can mean, I heard it. Yeah, it's true. I believe that. All right? But there's no change in their lives. That's possible. That's mental assent to the truth. That means, in my mind, I believe what you say. Okay? But Jesus didn't stop there. He said, if you will continue in my word, then it proves that you are my people indeed. And the thing is this, let's pretend this is the line, okay, where there's genuine salvation. So when a person starts listening to God's word, say, yeah, I believe it's true, and start walking closer towards the line, but not prepared to do anything yet. I'm not prepared to do anything yet. It doesn't change my life. So say, yeah, Jesus, I believe in you. You're a great teacher. And yeah, you're right. You're the Messiah, and I believe that. But it doesn't affect me. You know, many people do that, unfortunately. That's why churches are filled with people who say they believe in Jesus but do nothing about it. Well, Jesus says, he says, if ye will continue in my word, in other words, after you've heard that I'm Savior and you believe it to the point that you will do something about it, continue means to do, to preserve, to memorize, to study, to obey. And you keep those precious words in your heart. And say, if you'll continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Okay? You know, from here to here, no one can judge whether you're saved. From here, your belief, you say you believe to the point that you will continue with, no one can actually, let's say you truly, genuinely believe in your heart, you stay here, I still can't see whether you're saved or not, unless your works show me that you're saved. Does that make sense? And sometimes it does take time for people. It does take time for people, they struggle and finally say, yes, Lord, that's right. Or maybe there's sin in their lives and they just don't want to move. Okay? Now, that's in a very dangerous situation because Paul says, if you can do that, you need to examine your faith. Okay? The only way to prove, the only way to test whether you're saved or not is by your works. That's what the Bible says. Okay? Before men. Before men. All right? Any questions? Because Jesus actually said, that if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And then ye shall know the truth, and then the truth will make you free from error, free from sin. All right? Okay? Which was why when Jesus Christ was crucified, no one stood with him. No one stood with him. But there were some disciples who hung around Jesus. Did you know that? They all didn't run away. They ran away, but they came back. There are two specific disciples who were there. Do you know who are those two? Who was hanging around Jesus? Sorry? Huh? James? No, James wasn't around. Sorry? What? Thomas wasn't around. Thomas doubted Jesus. I'm talking about when Jesus was before the high priest and he was being judged. Okay, there were two disciples who were still hanging around. One was very scared. Peter, okay? He kind of walked in. He was warming himself by the fire and said, you are one of them. He said, nope, I'm not. Don't talk to me about him. Okay? You are one of them. You speak like a Galilean. He said, nope. And the Bible says he began to curse and swear. All right? There was another apostle who was very close to Jesus. Who? John. John was a friend of the high priest. He actually went into the trial. Okay? They didn't caught him or whatever. But you know what? John was there. Okay? They forsook him in the sense that no one stood for him. Okay? And so there was a lot of fear that were in the apostles' lives. Okay? But you know what? After that, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, they were willing to die for him. Okay? Is it easier to die for Christ or to live for him? You know, a lot of people, I wish I just die and go back to heaven, right? That's easy. You know what? Live for Jesus is hard. Okay? But you know, in this world of false prophets, we need to be very, very careful. Okay? The only way we will be set free if we want to be free from error and be warned against false prophets, we need to know the truth. We need to read the Bible, study it, memorize it, meditate on it, obey it, and test everything by it. All right. In other words, whatever happens, whatever people say, take out the word of God, check it out. Is it there? If it's there, obey it, follow it. If it's not, or you're not sure, ask. Okay? All right. Only way to be set free from error is to continue in God's word. The only way to be set free from your sin and your error is to continue in God's word. I can guarantee you, if you continue in God's word, you'll be a strong Christian. You'll grow in Christ. When we talk about continuing God's word, we don't actually pay lip service. Okay, I'll just be very honest with you. Many of you are Christians for many years. It's time to stop your read, pray, grow. You don't need read, pray, grow anymore. You don't need devotionals anymore. You need the word. Okay, if you're more than 5 years Christian, 10 years Christians, and you are still reading devotionals, you need to grow. You really need to grow. Okay, if your fathers, your family needs you to eat the word, then you can actually give to someone else. All right, Replay Grow Up for young children, for younger believers that need a starting point in their Christian lives. But it must come to the point you need to study God's word for yourself. All right? So I hope to challenge you by that. Okay? Don't read small. Don't go for devotionals anymore, even more than 5 years, Christians. All right? Because Paul, you know what Paul actually called the Corinthian Christians? You are carnal. Okay? From the time Paul planted the church in Corinth to the time he called him carnal was 5 years. And say, look, by the time 5 years, I would expect you to grow and know God's word. And I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit is ever present with us to teach us. We just need to take the word, pray, say, Lord, teach me, and start opening the Bible. All right? Okay, for some of you, we are going through passages in Matthew chapter 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay? Today we won't have. We'll continue next week. We'll touch on specific things. And you know what? Those discipleship hour time was full. Precious, we learn new things. I want to encourage you to make time for that. Okay? Alright. Next one, let's turn to Acts 17:11. Okay, for those who just came in, we're dealing with a testing mindset and how, in order to protect our own lives and our families from error and sin and false prophets, we are saying again and again, Jesus is warning us against two things. Number one, there will be increase of false prophets in the last days, and the only protection is for us to know God's word. Okay? In Acts 17:11. The Bible says in verse 11, okay, let's read together. Memorize it, all right? Ready? One, two, go. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all the readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Paul wasn't let go. Paul was the one who preached, okay? Or rather, Paul was one of the persons who preached there. And the Bible says the people at Berea, number one, they welcomed the word of God. They didn't come in and say, oh, we're going to see whether this guy is right or not. They didn't come. They were there to welcome the word of God. But in their readiness of mind, they also say, okay, I've heard this. I believe this is man of God. Let's see what he says. Oh, yeah, that's what Jesus said. You know. And they searched the scriptures to see whether these things are so. All right. And so we need daily study. The Bible says what? They searched the scriptures daily. They didn't just read the scriptures. They didn't read devotionals. There were no devotionals during that time. All right? They searched the scriptures. You know what I mean by searching? Have you tried to search for your lost key before? Have you tried to find a lost key before? My family, we tried to search for many things. And you know what? Sometimes it takes a long time to search. Why? You know, when you search, you go lift that open. Is it there? You try to remember and you look through and say, open this drawer. No, it's not there. And all that. Recently, one of my children lost, the OCBC token for some weeks already. And I was packing one day, and I look at the token. It looked like mine that was expired already. So I thought I was going to throw it away. Say, no, I think I put it somewhere else first. Okay. And thankfully, that guy, they actually found the token, and praise God, I didn't throw it away. All right. Otherwise, he will not be able to check his account and all that. But you know what? It requires searching. We need to search for God's word. How much time do we spend searching God's word? How much time do we spend actually reading? I want to encourage us to spend time in knowing God's word. Like the Christians at Berea, notice they search the scriptures daily. Before you can test anything by God's word, you must first study it. You must first know. And you know what? You need to know as much as possible from cover to cover. Because sometimes we are very focused on one pet topic. One pet topic. And we see everything by that pet topic. Okay? And there was one Sunday school teacher. He's very learned. He's so learned that I think his intellectualism got to him. He's no longer a Christian today. He's a Muslim. That's sad. But you know what? Some people say, how come he's like that? You know, it's dangerous. It does happen. Okay? But I remember he taught us one thing. He says that, look at, last time in our church, there was this in NBC, long time, so before some of you guys were born, there was this big picture, or a rug of I can't remember what was it, the Last Supper, I think. And what he said was, many of us study scripture by looking at only one part of the whole parcel. And we base our whole theology on that. Do you know what I mean? You only say, maybe this whole rug has many, many parcels, maybe 1,000 pieces, but we study theology just based on one part. and we put all our life and learning into that. We just say, actually, there's so much more that God has said. Okay? That's the danger of looking at men like Stephen Anderson, for example. I'm sorry, I've got to bring him up again. And all these people are some very famous preachers on the internet. And we govern ourselves by the way they preach. Okay? You need to be very careful. Men are men. I'm sure I've heard Paul Washer's, I've heard John. I believe in some areas they are right. But you know, the underlying beliefs are wrong. Are wrong. Okay? They believe in lordship salvation, for example. Okay? And so we need to be very clear. We need to go into the Word to understand it from God's perspective rather than this man. All right? So listen to preaching, but even preaching, you need to govern by Scripture. Okay? Because the Bible is your final authority. Okay, the next verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. Okay, let's read together this short verse. Ready? 5:21. 1 Thessalonians. 1, 2, go. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. The word prove means to test. Put it to the test. How do you test? By the Word of God. Okay? Prove all things. And it's important for us to be able to do so. Okay? We don't have one slide by just one event or two events. We need to be clear. Abraham was a man of God, right? Abraham was a man of faith. Did he make mistakes in his life? Abraham sinned in his life. Does that make him, therefore, he's supposed to be the father of many nations? And he is, okay? But you know, we need to test even if we say, okay, well, Abraham sinned in this, but you know what? How many of us don't sin? We do, okay? So we need to test on that basis that we are clear that we have not committed that sin and we are admonished to prove all things, okay? This is a far-reaching obligation, okay? I just want to put this, okay? We have to test all things. The Bible says to test all things, all things, okay? All things. What does all these things include? When Paul says test all things, what does it include? What does it include? What does it include? Doctrine, okay? Christian teaching, yeah? What else? What else does it include? Church? We test even the church by the Word of God. What else does it include? Do I say test all things? Your job? Does your job glorify God? Does it take time away from there's some jobs are not suited for Christians. Because it goes against the Word of God. Bartending, for example. You can't be a bartender and honor God. You can't. But it just goes against, it violates Scripture. Alright? Friends? Who are your friends? Are your friends godly? Do your friends encourage you to walk in faith? Okay? Doesn't mean you just a Pastor Johnny, that means I can't have non-Christian friends. No, I didn't say that. But you need to test whether you are influencing your friends or friends are influencing you. You know, Jesus was with prostitutes, he was with publicans and tax collectors. But no, they couldn't influence him. He was influencing them. Alright? Your fashion? What kind of fashion do you embrace? Is it a worldly fashion, following the ways of the world? Entertainment? What kind of entertainment do you watch? You need to test it by the Bible. Marriage? Is the marriage grounded firmly on God's Word? Have you prepared yourself adequately, etc.? All right? Are we unequally yoked? These are things that we have to test it by the Scriptures. Child training methods? All right, we may have a certain philosophy, but was it in line with the Scripture? All right, we can convince ourselves, but if someone comes and searches us out, we need to be open about it and actually look at that. So, your music, what kind of music do you listen to? It has to be tested by Scripture. It has to be tested by Scripture. I know it's not easy, but you know, pray for me. I need to stop saying it's not easy already, because as Christians, we are Christians first. Our lives ought to be in line with Scripture. And we need to test everything by the Bible, the way we think. You know, we have a lot of thoughts and philosophies. Is it square in line with the Bible? And we need to be testing these things. In other words, when Paul says test all things, in other words, put our whole life under scrutiny. Who can tell me a reason why we need to do that? Why we need to do that? And in fact, there are a few reasons. There's two main reasons, I believe. Number one, we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And all of our works will be audited. Every single thing. Okay, your life, your fashion, your works, your private life, what you think life. You know what? That covers every one of us. Okay? And that's an important, important truth. And number two, we want to test it because we love Jesus. We just want our life to be conformed to Him. Does that make sense? You know, yeah, as much as we have the judgment part, but you know what about the love part? I say, Lord, I just want to be like You, man. Because of what You have done for me, I just want to follow Your ways. People may think I'm a crazy guy, fanatical. Doesn't matter. As long as I'm following my Savior. Okay? Any questions? Okay, one last verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. Okay, let's read that together. Ready? One, two, go. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, casting down imaginations. What's imaginations? Imagination is basically what you think in your life. What you privately think. How you process information. How you think through the imaginations, okay? The Bible says, casting down imaginations. In other words, you were willing to break down the imagination. Say, Lord, if this is not in line with Your will, I've got to stop thinking like that. And every high thing. What's a high thing? What's a high thing in the Old Testament? An idolatrous, an idol. Okay, a high thing is an idol. Talking about high places. Okay, you know what is a high thing? An idolatrous belief. Something we believe so strongly in, but cannot be substantiated by the Bible. Okay? Okay, well, maybe I'll give you a very, very... there's a belief in some Chinese cultures that there's no such thing as a person. There's no sin. It's just that the person is not enlightened. So the way to help him is to enlighten him. There's no sin. Okay? And we weigh your good works versus your bad works. You know? You know that even for people who believe that and they become Christians, they still sometimes continue to believe that they have to do a lot of good things in order to kind of earn God's favor. And that's a high thing, an idolatrous belief. Okay, for us, we serve because we love. That's a key. All right? We're not perfect, but we serve because we love. We put God first in love and doing all these things for You, and of course, seeking the Holy Spirit and all that. And so, but the Christian need to bring every thought into the captivity to the truth. In other words, everything I think, okay, I'm not being paranoid once again, all right? Once you know Christ, He'll set you free. But the more you know God's word, the more you know what is right and wrong, the more you'll be operating within God's truth. Does that make sense? The more you know of God's word, like for example, you've known God's word so little, and I do a lot of things outside, okay? But I spend a lot of time reading God's word, my knowledge of God's word increases, and I start to operate more within the boundaries of God's word, more than what I think. Okay? And if it goes out, we say, nope, cannot, must come back here. Nope, cannot, must come back here. This is the boundary of God's word in my life. All right? Taking into captivity, every high thing that exalteth himself against the knowledge of God. And then bringing every captive, bringing captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, if I'm not doing this right, then I need to change. The battlefield is your mind, Christian. The battlefield is your mind. And some of us who think through things a lot, and every one of us, okay, let me just read through here. Okay, God wants the believer to bring every thought into captivity to the truth. We do this by filling our minds with God's word and letting it measure every thought that enters our hearts. The human imagination is a great spiritual battleground and must be guarded jealously. Your protection of your mind can only happen if you are in God's word. Otherwise, you have no soldiers, you have no protection against error. Well-meaning Christians can deceive you as well. Your pastor can deceive you as well. Okay? It's true. You know the only protection for you guys and me is the Word of God? When I preach, you search the scriptures, the pastor said that, let's follow. The pastor, need to correct that a bit. Fine. Okay. The modern entertainment industry aims its heavy guns at men's imagination. I say again, this is wonderful. The wonderful teaching. The modern entertainment industry aims its heavy guns at men's imagination. Because if Satan can change your mind, he's captured your heart. There was one very innocent, sweet-looking girl, apparently, in one of the situations. I still have the video, the DVD on the powers of social networking. And from 13 years old to about 17, 18 years old, she was just a nice, prim and proper. You go to church and everything was fine. When she was 18, she started to dwell in gothic. You know, gothic type of... She started to dress in a certain way, black earrings and all that, and she left the house. And they found out, you know where it came from? Social networking. You know, there's this teaching that we need to protect the privacy of our children. Children, if you're not willing to let your parents see your handphones, Satan has got you where he exactly wants you. Unless you're so spiritually strong and mature. Okay? Parents, we need to be serious-minded about our children's social networking devices. And children, submit yourself. We're going to talk about that in the service. And these two parents were interviewed on the DVD and said, we should have known. We should have stopped our daughter. The daughter is gone now. It's all because of this. Some of you young people, you do not want to let your parents see what you do. Let me say that if you need to hide from your parents, who should it remind you of? Adam and Eve when they sin. If you need to hide anything, parents, you have absolute authority to say, can I please take a look? Your children may punch you, they may fight you. And this thinking, there's one particular thinking that we need to respect privacy of our children. That's humanistic. That's not from the Bible. Because Satan will capture the young person, change their mind, and you cannot change that after that. And so I want to actually, we need to take it. So in our mind, you know what? My wife have free access to my phone. Okay? You know what that helps me? Be careful what I do when I actually send messages to people. She has free access. And I force myself not to interfere when she's kind of looking through. Not because she's capable, she just needs to update herself on certain things. That's fine. The only thing about protecting the privacy of our children, yes, I believe we need to protect privacy, okay? But as parents, we do have authority to inspect and check. And children, we must be willing to let our parents check. If you're not willing, I say, hey, don't take my phone. You know why you're hiding something? You know that you don't want that person to see. Okay? The Lord Jesus Christ was very submissive to his friend. I can extrapolate that to teach that. I don't believe the Lord Jesus Christ is anything too high. He's open. Our life should be an open book. You see, the reason why we have to hide is because we've got something to hide. And you know what? Within the family, we need to be willing to talk about things. I know some of you may disagree with me, that's fine, but I say for the protection of the home, fathers, you need to grow to develop a strong relationship with your particular children, that they are open to allowing you. I know sometimes dads, we can come down very hard, and the relationship has fear, and then when fear is there, it's very hard to interact in that sense. Does that make sense? You must be open, and sometimes children will think wrongly. That's normal. Our job is to correct that, okay? So does it make sense? Any questions on that? Any questions? Any questions? And this is done in the name of not making the lives of our children hard. It's actually to protect them from error. But too many of young people have been lost simply because they interact with people they shouldn't be interacting with on social networks. And this is a very, very, very sinister. Satan is very smart, much smarter than... By the way, Satan has been in the business of deception for the last 6,000 years. He has a lot more experience than us. The only way we will win is to follow what Jesus said, because he's the only general who knows everything about the devil and knows how to defeat him. And we will be wise soldiers to listen to what Jesus said. Okay? Any questions? Okay, we'll stop there. What we'll do because of time, I'm going to give you your quiz on how to use your money, all right, on tithing, all right? You do it, and then you hand it in next week, all right? So you don't have to kind of rush through, all right? But just do one thing. Just be, just try to do it without looking at your notes first, all right? If you're really not too sure, it's okay, all right? The goal is actually for you to actually remember, okay? But any questions, we have about four more. We have about four more verses that we'll finish next week. But any questions on this? Yes. The reason why John MacArthur will be a false prophet, because his belief strikes at the very heart of the gospel. At the very heart of the gospel. If he says that we are saved by the death of Christ, I say no. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. He may have a lot of explanation around it. He's a good teacher on some things, charismatic chaos. He's very insightful. And I respect his teaching on those areas. But you know what? He's a false prophet when it comes to the gospel. I will be very clear. Because I've read his Charismatic Chaos. If you ever want to know about why the whole Pentecostal tongues movement is wrong, you should read his book, Charismatic Chaos by John MacArthur. Very insightful book. He deals with the healing and the tongues and all that. And even give very good examples as well. When it comes to the gospel, he's a heretic. He's a heretic. He's a false prophet. Because it is the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all sin. Does that make sense? Okay? Yeah. So there is actually sprinkling of error even in his gospel. And I'm concerned. I hope you are. To say that we're saved by the death, not the blood of Christ. Leviticus 17:11 said, "For the God has given the blood to be the atonement for our souls." Okay? I'll give you now. John Piper, for example, believed that a person who received the 666 mark in the 7 years of tribulation can be saved if his heart is in the right place. Do you believe that? He argues that if a person received the mark 666, but you know what? His heart is in the right place. He still worships Christ secretly. I believe God will judge him and will save him. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Let's turn there, all right? Then we can compare that with Scripture, and then we'll finish. In Revelation chapter 14, and this is a very, very, very popular way of looking at the Bible. Okay? I will just finish with this last verse. In verse 10, so in verse 9 first, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, 'If any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same person who worshiped the beast will drink, shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. They have no rest day or night, and who worship the beast and his image, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.'" Okay? In other words, it doesn't matter what you think. When you receive the mark, and so-called your heart is in the right place, but you receive the mark, God says, you are doomed forever. Am I canceling that out? I'm missing out the worship part? Receiving the mark is a mark of worship. A very popular teaching today is, oh, you know, you can do this. But you don't have to believe in it. The fact that you did it means you believe in it. You know, it's very easy for our Baptist forefathers to have their children infant baptized to save their entire families. Why didn't they do that? Mr. Carpenter, for example, in the history of baptism, refused to allow his child to be infant baptized because if I infant baptize, it means I betray the truth. I betray the truth. I may think that, oh, I can protect my family through that. Mr. Carpenter was cruelly whipped, all right, because he refused to allow his child to be infant. Is there anything wrong with just sprinkling a few water on the child? And you know what? By doing that, he can save his entire family. He says no. He don't want to be a traitor to God's word. And Jesus said, if you receive the mark, it's an indication. For example, let's say if I wear a Buddhist talisman here, or I wear something here, what do you say? No, I don't believe that. Are you going to be convinced? You will say, "Well, Pastor, why are you wearing this? I don't believe it." And this is a very, very... Because you see, however we decide to live our life, is God sees it as a sum total of your being. Because when we stand before God, we don't stand before God with your heart here, your works here, and your spirit here, and your soul here. You are seen as a person. And let's say I went to steal, but I didn't mean to steal. God says, "Why did you steal?" "God, I didn't really mean it." "Then why did you steal?" Does that make sense? Your action, your decision to act in a certain way, is a sum total of all your beliefs. Although for us, I understand sometimes we may have our reasons why we did this and this and this. But God wants us, in other words, at the end of the day, whatever you do, whatever your intention, you will still be judged for that act. Okay? I think we better stop here. Thanks for that question. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time. I pray that I know this will bring up things which, you know, as a Christian, we need to handle. I pray that the grace of Christ and the Spirit of Christ will teach us to handle these things with love and also understanding. But Father, to stand for the truth, Lord, where we have to, and we'll test everything by the Word of God, and we'll hate every false way, regardless of who, myself included. That, Father, it is the responsibility of every one of your children to study your precious Word. And that, Father, I pray that as a church we will grow in maturity, we will grow in our keenness of mind, we will grow not just looking at one small aspect, but the entire, and be mature, Father, so that we might be strong for our families, for our children, for our church, and for our lost friends and people out there. Bless the service to follow, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.